The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. If you keep an eye on global finance or international development or foreign aid, you know, numbers are everything. GDP growth, poverty metrics.
Billions of dollars moving based on figures we often see presented with, like decimal point precision. We tend to just accept them as hard facts.
But what if those facts aren't quite so hard? What if they're more like, well, statistical fiction, as our author puts it?
Exactly. Today we're digging into a really provocative book, Morton Jervin's Poor Numbers, how we are misled by African development statistics, and what to do about it.
And this is so important because Jervin isn't just questioning the policies built on the data. He's questioning the data itself, the very foundation.
Mm-hmm. We see a headline saying, you know, Country X's economy grew by 5.2%, and we take it at face value.
But Jervin makes this case that our whole picture of economic progress in Africa might be built on a foundation of sand, to use his phrase.
And that's really our mission for this deep dive. If huge decisions, policy, investment hinge on these numbers, we really can't afford to trust them blindly anymore.
We have to start asking some tough questions, like where did these numbers actually come from?
Jervin basically forces us to interrogate the statistics before we even start analyzing the trends they supposedly show.
Okay, so let's talk about Morton Jervin himself. Who is he? He's an economic historian, a professor focusing on African economic development.
Right, but what makes his perspective so powerful, I think, is his method. He's not just sitting back crunching existing numbers.
He's interdisciplinary.
Yeah, he digs into the history, like a historian would, tracing these statistical systems back to colonial times. But then, and this is key, he does extensive field work.
So he's actually visiting the National Statistical Offices, the NSOs, across Africa, talking to the people compiling the data.
Exactly. He's getting inside what he calls the statistical sausage factory. He's looking at the process, not just the final glossy report.
That makes sense. Seeing the institutional challenges, the political pressures, the technical difficulties firsthand.
Precisely. So he combines the history, the technical stats knowledge, and the on-the-ground reality. It makes his critique really hard to just brush aside. He's kind of challenging the system from within.
Okay, so let's get to the heart of it. The core thesis of Poor Numbers. What's the single biggest takeaway Jervin wants us to understand?
Well, it's pretty sobering. He argues that the fundamental economic data for many sub-Saharan African countries, particularly that big one, GDP, is just deeply flawed, unreliable.
Creating a distorted picture of what's actually happening economically.
Yeah, often a seriously misleading one.
And the root of the problem, as he lays it out, is this kind of illusion of precision. We see GDP growth reported to two decimal places.
And we assume it came from some super accurate, you know, computer model.
Right. But Jervin's work aims to pull back the curtain on that. He shows this statistical tragedy, as he calls it, stems from things like chronic underfunding, political interference, and just really outdated ways of calculating things.
And his big demand is for us to shift our thinking. Stop treating these numbers like objective truths found in nature.
See them for what they are.
Social and political products. They're shaped by history, by power dynamics. They're often contested, negotiated.
And this isn't just for economists, right? This matters for policymakers deciding where aid goes, journalists writing the headlines, investors assessing risk, anyone consuming this information.
Absolutely. You need to understand just how fragile these numbers can be.
So to really grasp that fragility, let's look at one of his key examples. He starts with this case study from Ghana that he calls a statistical miracle.
Oh, yeah. The Ghana rebasing story is pretty stunning.
Tell us about it. What happened in 2010?
Okay, so Ghana decided to update its base year for calculating national accounts, basically. The economic snapshot they use is a starting point for measuring growth.
And the crucial part is they hadn't done this for how long?
Almost two decades. They were still using 1993 as their economic benchmark.
1993. Wow. Okay. So they finally update the base year to 2006. And the result?
Overnight, literally overnight, the official size of Ghana's economy jumped by 63%.
Wait, 63%? Just like that. With no actual economic boom happening on the ground.
Exactly. It was purely a statistical event. The country didn't suddenly get richer.
The numbers just finally caught up with reality.
Pretty much. The new calculation finally accounted for huge structural changes that had been invisible in the old data for years, like the massive growth in mobile phones and the service sector.
Stuff that just wasn't significant back in 93.
Right. The official stats were basically tracking a ghost economy. And boom, that one statistical adjustment instantly reclassified Ghana from a low income to a lower middle income country, changed his whole international standing.
That is incredible. It perfectly shows what the problem is. Huge chunks of the economy being missed. But Jervin went deeper, right, into why this happens inside those NSOs.
Yeah, he digs into the roots. He traces a lot of it back to the colonial era. Statistical collection back then wasn't really about tracking welfare or development.
It was more for the colonizers' benefit.
Primarily, yeah. Things like tracking resources for extraction, figuring out taxation, controlling labor, not building a picture of overall economic health.
And newly independent nations often inherited these systems, weak, narrowly focused, and definitely underfunded.
Exactly. And that legacy continues. Jervin describes NSOs today that are just chronically understaffed, under-resourced.
Statisticians forced to use outdated methods, sometimes decades old.
Mm-hmm. And here's a crucial bit. They often have to rely heavily on imputations.
Which are basically educated guesses.
Educated guesses, yeah. Necessary ones, maybe, but still guesses used to fill in enormous gaps in the actual data.
So a big chunk of that final GDP number we see reported isn't even based on direct measurement.
A surprisingly large portion, often. It's based on someone making the best estimate they can, but it's inherently uncertain.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate for a sec. If the NSOs are struggling and the data is patchy, isn't having some number, even an imperfect one, better than nothing? Donors, governments, they need something to work with, right?
That's the paradox Jervin really highlights. The demand for a number, any number, is incredibly intense. And that pressure can actually incentivize producing, well, statistical fiction just to meet the demand.
And this is made worse by what he calls the invisibility problem.
Right. Think about the hardest parts of an economy to track, especially in many African contexts.
Like subsistence agriculture families growing food just for themselves.
Exactly. Or the huge, bustling, informal economy street vendors, small artisans, informal transport.
How do you accurately measure the value of crops that never even hit a market? Or track the income of millions working off the books?
The standard methods are often really basic, relying on pretty heroic assumptions. And because these sectors are often so large, even small errors in measuring them can throw the whole national GDP figure way off.
So it's not just the national offices struggling. Jervin also found issues when comparing the big international databases, right? The database discrepancy.
Oh, yeah, this is a major finding. He took the same countries, the same time periods, and compared their growth rates and income levels as reported by different major sources like the World Bank, the Pan World Table.
The ones everyone relies on.
The big ones. And he found just staggering differences.
Like one database shows growth, another shows stagnation for the exact same country and time.
Precisely. Decades of difference in the economic story being told, depending on which data set you happen to use. These are the world's most reputable sources, and they often can't agree on the basic historical facts.
Wow. Okay, think about the implications of that. If the fundamental inputs are that inconsistent,
how can researchers confidently test theories about what causes growth or poverty reduction? How can policymakers know if past interventions actually worked? The foundations are shaky.
And that uncertainty, I guess, opens the door for politics to play a role.
Absolutely. Jervin makes it clear, data isn't neutral. Governments might have incentives to, say, inflate growth figures to look good and attract investment.
Or on the flip side, maybe underreport income to qualify for more foreign aid or get debt relief.
Exactly. And that pressure gets amplified by international donors. There's this huge push for evidence-based policy.
Which sounds good in theory.
It does.
Yeah.
But it creates intense demand for quantitative indicators, for numbers.
Yeah.
And NSOs, feeling that pressure, might end up producing figures, maybe fudging them, maybe just using poor methods simply to satisfy those external demands, even if the numbers aren't solid.
That sounds like a vicious cycle.
It really is. The demand for precise numbers outruns the capacity to produce them reliably, leading to potentially meaningless data being used to justify real-world policies.
This goes way beyond just technical statistics, then. It's about governance, about international relations, about accountability.
Fundamentally, yes.
Okay, let's try to pull together the main threads here. What are, say, three core themes Jervin really wants us to take away from poor numbers?
I think the first, and maybe the most fundamental, is his argument that statistical capacity is state capacity.
Meaning,
the ability of a country to produce reliable data about itself is a basic function of a modern, effective state. It's as critical as building roads or providing security.
So the chronic underinvestment in these NSOs isn't just a technical oversight, it's a core governance failure.
That's exactly his point. Second theme, we've touched on it a lot, the illusion of precision.
That false sense of certainty we get from seeing numbers reported with decimal points.
Right. We're easily swayed by that appearance of scientific accuracy. But when policymakers treat flawed data as if it's perfectly precise, they operate under a dangerous illusion of knowledge, which can lead to bad policy.
Makes sense. And the third theme?
That numbers are political constructs. We have to get away from thinking of economic statistics as objective facts just waiting to be discovered.
They're human creations.
Yes. Shaped by history, by who has the resources, by political agendas. Even deciding what gets counted and how it's valued involves choices influenced by power. So we always need to ask, who produced this number, how, and why?
Critically examining the source, not just consuming the output.
Exactly.
You know, the book has some lines, some core ideas that really stick with you because they challenge assumptions so directly.
Definitely. One that really captures the fragility for me is Jervin basically saying, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, that producing these stats in Africa is often about navigating huge data gaps with guesswork.
So the final number presented as this hard fact
often has a very soft and uncertain core, as he puts it. That gap between the confident presentation and the shaky reality is where problems arise.
And he's also quite critical of what you might call the tyranny of GDT, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. This global obsession with GDP growth as the ultimate benchmark of success.
It makes us overlook the massive uncertainty behind that single number.
And it crowds out other vital dimensions of well-being, health, education, inequality, environmental sustainability. We're putting way too much weight on one potentially very wobbly pillar.
And the finding that still gets me is that lack of agreement between the big databases.
Yeah, that quote, essentially. There is no consensus on the basic facts of African economic history.
If the experts using the best available data can't agree on what happened,
how can we confidently prescribe policies for what should happen next? It undermines so much development theory and practice.
Okay, so that really raises the crucial question. What do we do with this knowledge? How can we apply these insights? Does Jervin offer practical advice?
He does. And a lot of it comes down to urging statistical humility. For you, listening, as a citizen or just a consumer of news,
be
constructively skeptical. Yeah. When you see a headline about African growth, ask those critical questions. What's the base year they're using? How old is it? How did they estimate the informal sector? Don't just swallow the number whole, even if it comes from a big international body.
And for the international players, the donors, the World Bank, the IMF.
The message is pretty clear. Stop demanding impossible precision right now.
Right.
The pressure for quick, exact numbers can be counterproductive.
Focus instead on
long-term support. Help build the capacity of the NSOs themselves. Invest in the institutions, the training, the infrastructure. It's slower, less glamorous, but more sustainable.
And for policymakers within countries.
Jervin advocates for a dashboard approach. Move away from the obsession with just GDP.
Look at a wider range of indicators.
Exactly. Things like infant mortality, access to electricity, school enrollment numbers, maybe more detailed household survey data. Get a broader, more textured, and hopefully more honest picture of development.
And what about investors, people putting capital into these economies?
For them, it's a huge signal. Treat the official macro data with serious caution. It might not reflect the reality on the ground in the specific sector you're interested in.
So independent research, on-the-ground due diligence becomes even more essential.
Absolutely critical. You can't just rely on the top-line GDP figure.
So wrapping up, what's the single most important lesson you take away from Jervin's work?
For me, it really is that call for statistical humility. Recognizing and acknowledging the uncertainty isn't a weakness. It's actually intellectual honesty.
And maybe the first step toward making better policy, because you're starting from a more realistic understanding of what you actually know.
Precisely. We need to move beyond this sort of naive acceptance of data just because it's presented as data.
And, you know, if anyone needed a dramatic real-world validation of Jervin's entire thesis after the book came out, they got it with Nigeria, didn't they?
Oh, the Nigeria rebasing in 2014? That was massive.
They hadn't rebased since 1990, right? And when they finally did.
The size of their economy basically doubled on paper. Overnight, it shot past South Africa, making Nigeria officially the continent's largest economy.
Another statistical earthquake.
The ultimate statistical earthquake. It proved undeniably that huge, thriving sectors, Nollywood, telecoms, banking services had been almost completely invisible in the official statistics for over two decades.
It's the perfect illustration of everything Poor Numbers warns about.
Absolutely. The book really forces a much more honest conversation about the limits of our knowledge, about what these numbers can and crucially cannot tell us.
It's a really vital corrective, I think, to how the world measures and talks about economic development, especially in Africa.
And hopefully it helps all of us as informed citizens to not be so easily misled by that comforting but often false illusion of precision.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.